So thank you for all coming back to the third Rav Rav Kook and Lama Teresa Kapara. So last week we tried to give a general introduction to the methodology of the Rav in terms of the way he develops Jewish philosophy as he expresses it in an halachic mind, and also a small case study in terms of shofar tracing the development of ideas from the actual halachos in the Gemara, from the sugyos to lamdas, and from lamdas to what he calls philosophy. Today we're going to try to do a similar thing with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You talk about some aspects of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's methodology and coming up with sikos, coming up with mamarim, which is very much intertwined with what he thinks the mission of his generation, our generation, is. And at the end, the first time to see this unfolding as vis-a-vis a sikha about the nature of the month of Elul. So the reason why I chose the Rebbe first and then Rav Kook is because, at least in terms of the starting point, the Rebbe is very similar to Rav Soloveitchik. The Rebbe is very, very textual. Everything he ever said, I don't know if everything he ever said, but all of the published sikkos, all the published memoriam are working off of previous sources. He often goes through very, very laborious, very precise textual analysis of the previous sources before developing his own ideas. His questions are questions I've run about asking. Do you get? Why does it say this? Why is there a word change over here? Why is there a letter change over there? This implies X, but the next statement implies Y. Going through the beginning of the Sifa, it could sometimes be a very, very rigorous textual experience in terms of analyzing the sources. So in that sense, starting off with Mekoros is something very similar to Rav Soloveitchik. As we're going to see, as people probably know, Rav Kook's pieces, at least in terms of the written form in which they reach us, do not start off with Mekoros. They start off somewhere in Shemayim, somewhere in his brain, somewhere in his neshama, and Mekoros sort of get interwoven through. But the Rebbe starts off with sources the same way Rav Soloveitchik started off with the objective data that Hashem gave us. But I just want to note three different things about the Rebbe's methodology, what he does with these sources. And then we'll hopefully see it unfolding. The first one is not so different than the Rav, but we'll see his formulation is going to become important, if not today, later on in the year. So this is a sikha he gave Tafshin Nun Beis, which is 1992. So I was alive when he gave the sikha, which is pretty cool. And it's a hadron, it's a siyum. I think I'm a sekas moed katan and brachos, and it's analyzing different aspects of Talmud Torah, particularly aspects of Talmud Torah that are described happening in Olam Haba, in Gan Eden, in the Moses Mashiach. But the oath immediately prior to oath test, which you have in the sheet, is asking the question: What does it mean that Kol Ma Shetamid Vasik Asur L'Chadish Kfar Nemar L'Moshe Misinai? Kfar Nemar L'Moshe Misinai. What does it mean that if I have a new idea in Torah, I have a new pshat in a sugya, it's already given over to Moshe Sinai? It's paradoxical. It's already given over. It's not my chiddush. If it's my chiddush, then it wasn't given over previously. So he has a very classic formulation, but the words he uses and the way he expresses it are going to be very important. So Ostes, Yishlamar, Rabbi Yerbozer, Torah lo b'shamayim mi. What's the explanation? Torah, as we know, is lo b'shamayim mi. El avinim l'ba'usem shal Yisrael shepos kimdini Torah al pi ha'charas tiklom k'gasaru. The Torah is given over to Klal Yisrael. L'chein in mashkika b'vasko, l'ach kadosh baruch hu k'chayik amar nitzkuni b'nai nitzkuni. B'lo'od el shigama inyam shemashchadshem adichak m'Yisrael na'asim b'Torah. Hashem gave over the Torah to Klal Yisrael so much so, you take a paskin against Hashem, that's the reference to the Gemara. And in fact, the new ideas that Klal Yisrael come up with are incorporated into the corpus of Torah. What's the problem with this? We said, Godom Alosan Shal Yisrael. This teaches us the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Shemach Shavasan Shal Yisrael Kad Melechol Davar. This is a line from a Medrash Rabbah, I think Bereishis Rabbah. That the thought of Klal Yisrael preceded everything. Gam Lemachshav is the Torah. Klal Yisrael precedes the Torah. Well, that's in the Torah, a Rav Market, Ferish Mamarazal, you throw all of the Makshava. In order to understand this, we have to preface it with a statement in the Magid of Mezrich, the Rebbe of the Alter Rebbe, the student of the Baal Shem Tov. What does it mean that the Yisrael all of the Makshava, Yisrael was thought of first by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? K'mashal ha'ad k'tzuras p'nok ha'kuka makshavaso. You can explain this with a mashal, that the image of a son is imprinted in the thought of the father. Hainu should see your zeb makshavaso yisbarak, b'mi ha'ben, tzuras ha'ben, Mitzad Godel Avasol Yisrael, Albert Sono, Shatsur Shalem, Tiakakukabo, El Shaitan Hashem Yisbarach, Shai Gazalomar, Akodim Shinibru Yisrael, Nakap Tirasne Makshava, Kiatzlo Yisbarach Abar Vasen Echad. So, generally speaking, if you have a father and a son, the image of the son is imprinted in the thoughts of the father. The father is always thinking about the son. Generally speaking, that only happens after the son is born, because you have a son, and then the image, the memory of the son, can always be imprinted in the father's brain. before Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. This happened even before Hashem created the world, even before Hashem created Klal Yisrael, because past, present, and future have no meaning for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is beyond, above the temporal line. So even before Klal Yisrael were created in this world, they still existed, a copy of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That allows the Makshava of Hashem to be focused on Klal Yisrael even before they're actually created in this world. He says, this is also true about the Chidushim that the Yisrael have regarding Torah. So it's the same exact thing, the same exact negation of the temporal line, which is true about Chidushei Torah that Klal Yisrael have. The same way Klal Yisrael didn't yet exist, and yet they still existed in thought of Hashem, because Hashem is above time. Hashem is above time, Klal Yisrael is above time, Torah is above time. This is all about time, so practically I'm coming up with a new idea, but really it was already part of Hashem's mind before I ever came up with it. And that's the shot on the line that Kol Masha Talmud Vasik Asa V'Chadish for Nemar L'Moshe Misnigai. On one level, I was Mechadish in 2016. On another level, Hashem is above time, but it already existed in Hashem's mind prior. Right? Nice formulation. Let's get to the next paragraph. Uva Umek Yoser. Lo zu bilvad, shigam ha'inyonim shemischad shem adei Yisrael, yukakugim makshavasi yisvarach. It's not only that these ideas are imprinted in Hashem's mind, l'chein hein chidlik mitiras Hashem Rosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they're part of Hashem's Torah. El yisir, amizeh, it goes one step beyond this. Sheish iloi v'inyonei ha-Torah shemischad shem al Yisrael, tamid basik asa d'chadish, gavi inyonei ha-Torah kifi shehim hi mitzad atzma tiras Hashem Rosh Baruch Hu. There's something more authoritative, more authentic about the Torah that I create than the original Torah that was given over to Moshe at Sinai. Not only is it, does it get incorporated in that original Torah, but it comes from a deeper place of divinity. Let's read it inside. Ki haTorah mitzad atzma bechinas chachmas Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu. Torah on its own comes from chachmas Hashem. V'inyonei haTorah shemachan shem Yisrael mitzad sharasham be'atzmuso yisparach heim bedarga na'alis yosir. That when Klal Yisrael comes up with Chidushim, that's not only tapping into Chachmas Hashem, which is like the first of the spheres, Chachma being a das to God's wisdom, which was given over to Moshe at Sinai in the form of the Torah, but tapping into a deeper level, a higher level, which is the Atzmus of Hashem, the essence of God, and it's bringing out those ideas into reality. These two terms, atzmos versus everything else, are going to be very important terms to the Babish Rebbe, as we'll be seeing and analyzing over the course of the year. But just for now, we should note that the framework the Babish Rebbe is creating here is one which admires and venerates chidushim, innovative ideas in Torah, obviously based on previous sources. But a chidush is not just something which, it's a second tier to the Torah of Moshe. It gets incorporated into the Torah of Moshe. But a chiddush is something which is actually a more authentic expression of godliness than the actual Torah that was given to Moshe. It's a pretty extreme statement, pretty radical statement. But just creating a framework, number one, the first thing we should know about the Rebbe's methodology or hermeneutics is that chidushim are going to be admired, chidushim are going to be venerated. Yeah, Sal.
Do we understand the mechanism by which the thoughts of Hashem that come mimela because they're thoughts of the children become more a part of him than the thoughts of him himself?
Not yet, but hopefully at the end of the year, at least within the terms used by Chabad, in Chabad, we'll understand exactly what he means. I'm not sure if we're ever going to fully understand what he means, but at least we'll understand the background for the terminology. So number one, the Rebbe is always textually based, but Chidushim are something which are going to be invited. Number two, this is very different than the Rav Soloveitchik. Particularly the Chidushim that come from the role of Chassidus are going to be something which are particularly admired and of particular importance. But if you look at source number two, this is the Maimar the Rebbe gave in Yitzhak Kislev, I forget which year. The Rebbe tries to define what the essence of Chassidus is. It's something which we're going to be returning to several times probably over the course of the year. But this is one part of it at Oschas. He says, "Achiyus shav Torah sachasidus machnitza b'chol yani ha'olam." Says chasidus brings a new life force to every aspect of the world. Katan zeh adam ta'olam kipshuto. The olam katan, the person, and also the whole world. That's caused, the fact that Chassidus innovates things in the world is caused by the fact that Chassidus causes us to re-understand the Torah. Because everything in the world is affected by the Torah. Chassidus affects the Torah, therefore Chassidus affects the world. The Torah da'al chalakim. There are four parts of Torah. Pshat, Remez, Drush, Pesod. The Torah sa Chassidus machnisa chiyos v'chol achamayim. Torah Chassidus brings new life force into each and every one of the previous aspects of the Torah. Previously, he said Chassidus is the yechida, is the quintessential essence of Torah, which then becomes the quintessential essence of the world. And therefore, once Chassidus gets revealed, it forces you to re-understand the previous four levels of Torah. Asher nosaf al zeh shebetorah sa chassidus kibau bi'uriyam binyanim shonim shebechol da'al chalkei Torah. It's not just that chassidus brings new interpretations to the four other aspects of Torah. Shegam zeh sholas esvar shechassidus ba b'chlei b'virus chilak asoja b'torah b'lavad. What I grew up with. What is the purpose of chassidus? It's Kabbalah light. Kabbalah is too hard to understand. Chassidus is a way of explaining Kabbalistic ideas to the layman. The rabbi says, no, that's a misunderstanding of chassidus. When you learn Chassidus, that brings a new life force into each and every aspect of Torah that you learn. Again, the word, same word, atzmi, atzmos, it exists in a new quintessential, essential way. Chabad had to come up with terms, English terms, to define what the word atzmos and atzmi mean, but we'll be seeing these terms over and over again. And therefore you're going to have to relearn sugyos after you understand things from the Chassidish perspective. And part of this maimar is you actually go through sugyos and explains what the sugya meant, halachic sugyos, what the sugya meant in Pshat, Drash, Remez, Sod, and based on previous Torahs, and how understanding the Chassidish aspect of the idea gives new life, a new perspective on each of those previous four levels. So not only is the Rebbe into Chidushim, but the fact that Chassidus has been introduced into the world, the fact that the Rebbe thought that the force of Chassidus, the power of Chassidus, gets stronger, it intensifies as we get closer to Yemos Mashiach, and that weakens from the Baal Shem Tov, but gets stronger with each generation from the Baal Shem Tov, it requires people in this generation to learn Torah of Chassidus, and therefore re-understand certain perspectives they had on the Torah previously. Turn the page. A third point, methodological point about the Rebbe, is the mission of this generation. So we already have Chiddush, everything is text-based, everything is based on the Torah of previous Rebbes. He's all over the place, he's quoting previous Chabad Torahs. But Chiddushim are admired. Torah Chassidus forces you to re-understand certain aspects of the Torah. And also the mission, particularly the Rebbe's generation, is going to force you to re-understand parts of the Torah in light of what the ultimate mission of the world is, as is expressed in the mission of the seventh generation of Chabad. So we're going to go through the Medrash that was the base text for the first Maimar the Rebbe ever gave, Basi Degani Tavshani Aleph, and then we're going through one paragraph from that Maimar. We're going to be discussing the background of it in a future Chavurah, but just to know what the Rebbe felt the mission of his generation was. So the Medrash says, "Basi Degani Achosi Kala." Right, this is the Dode talking to the Raya and Shir Ashirim. Come to my garden, my sister, my bride. So source number three, "Basi Degani." Amar Rav Nachman Chasin Rav Elazar Bar Avuna Meshim Rav Shimon Ben Yosna. Basi Degani Inksivkan Elu Degani Leganuni. Doesn't say come to my garden, but rather come to my chuppah, come to my wedding hall. So Makom Shaya Ikari Mitzchila. Hashem is talking. Come to my garden, to my wedding hall, to the place where my essence was from the start. V'ikar shechina lo b'tachlon ma'yisa, and was not the essence of the shechina in the lowest realm. How would d'ksiv? Yishmu is kol Hashem elokim es aleich b'gan. Then how do we know the essence of the shechina was in the lowest realm? Because where was Hashem in Parshas Bereishis? In Gan Eden. So it's a very beautiful message. Gani means Gan Eden is taken, and one level is taken to be Gan Eden. Gan Eden is Tachtonim, it's the lowest level. It's seemingly our physical reality, and that's where Hashem was at the start of the world. That's why he's telling people, Basi Legani, I've come to my garden with the creation of the world. But then the Midrash points out, Amar of Abba, Mehalif ink sivkan ela misalik, mekabitz misalik, mekabitz misalik. That the Shechina, Igor Shechina, the essence of the Shechina, as the Rebbe puts it in the Maimar, started off in the lowest level in the garden. But what happened? People sinned. Chata Adam Rishon, Nistakal the Shechina la Rakiha Rishon. Adam sinned, the Shechina went up to the first Rakiha, to the first heaven. Chata Kain, Nistakal the Rakiha Shini. Midrash goes through the seven Chataim in the beginning of Bereishis, and with each height, the Shechina ascends higher and higher until the Shechina is there in the seventh heaven. Again, intuitively, you would think the Shechina is always supposed to be in the heavens. That's where the Shechina is in Shemayim. Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Ratz, Varz, and Sanat, Ne'adam. The Midrash has the Shechina starting off on the ground and ascending to the heavens with people's sins. And Kneged, the seven Chataim, and the seven ascents of the Shechina are going to be seven Tzadikim and bring the Shechina back down to the ground. And we skip to the third to last line. Kenegdam amdu shiva tzadikim, but we do the aretz. So corresponding to these seven sins, there are seven tzadikim brought the Shechina back down to the land. Zacha Avram, barida mishvi l'shishi. Aman Yitzhak, barida mishishi l'chamishi. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, bring the Shechina back down, each one level, until the last lines of Midrash, Aman Moshe, barida l'aretz. Moshe stood up, and he brought the Shechina back down to ground level, back to the aretz, to the Gan, where it was originally. Presumably, by bringing the Torah from Shemayim and Tzaretz, Moshe brought the Shechina back down to the ground. The Rebbe analyzes basically every phrase of this Midrash, defining exactly what Ikar Shechina means in Chassidus, what Tachtonim means in Chassidus. He rules out various possibilities. Basically, what he says is exactly what the way I just described it, which is that God's essence was originally in the lowest realm. Moshe is the seventh tzaddik. He's ushering in the seventh generation of Chabad. And again, the background for this in Chabad Chassidus, why he says this, how he got here, we're going to be discussing at a different point. But just to know why he thought the mission of the generation was, let's look at source number four, which is one paragraph in the middle of the Maamar. And this is really what changed Chabad Chassidus from being more of an introverted, self-disciplined, his bonus oriented Chassidus to being Chabad as we know it. This is exactly what we have to. It's exactly what we demand of ourselves in the seventh generation. The seventh generation is beloved. It's not our choice to be in the seventh generation. We didn't merit to be in the seventh generation. We don't even want to be in the seventh generation. We'd rather be back in the fifth generation in the Babish. We are beloved by God. We have a unique mission. We are in the generation before Mashiach. What is our mission? The seventh generation? It's parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu's avodah, to the mission of the seventh tzaddik. It's to draw the essence of the Shechina into the lowest level, into the lower realms. And the Rebbe goes on to explain that because the Shechina was originally in the Tachtonim, originally in the entire world, the Shechina went up to the heavens because of the Chataim of man. Now the mission of the last generation before Mashiach is to bring the Shechina back down to Tachtonim. Tachtonim he defines as things which seem the most secular, things which seem the farthest from God. It's to show how even those things, or particularly those things, as he explains in the Maamar, are really the best home for the Atzmos Elokos, for the essence of God. And therefore, you go to secular college campuses, you go to Kathmandu, you go to all these random places, which seem to be very secular, and draw out the divinity that's already latent and inherent there. Again, we're going to unpack this at a later point, but just to note, that is the mission of the seventh generation, and this is the leitmotif, the theme of the Rebbe's Torah, creating a dira b'tachtonim, creating a dwelling place for God in the lowest level here on our own physical terrestrial earth. And all three of these points are going to affect the Rebbe's methodology in any particular sikha or maimar. Number one, everything is text-based, but still chidushim are venerated. Chidushim, dafka, and Torah Chassidus are going to be venerated even more, because Chassidus forces you to re-understand Torah in general. And we're going to be seeing why Torah Chassidus is so important in the Rebbe's thought. That's the purpose of that maimar. But just know for now, Torah Chassidus is super important. And number three, the mission of the generation, which is to bring the Shekhinah back down to Tachtonim. Just to conclude, and we're going to see this, we're going to see these 3 points over and over and over again in the Rebbe's sikhos. Just to conclude very quickly with a sikha the Rebbe gave about the month of Elul. So, in Chabad land, the month of Elul is often characterized with the term Melach Basadeh. So I'm sure some people know this, some people don't. I did not know this growing up. But Melach Basadeh, where did the term Melach Basadeh come from? It comes from Mashal, the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe, one of his pieces, I think in the Kuti Torah, asked the following question. That if we know that there's a special Gilui Shechina, there's a special Eitz Ratzon during the month of Elul, and therefore it's a time of the Yogim Lidl Tzirachamim, it's time of Dirsho Shambi Matzo, it's a time of closeness to Hashem, so then why isn't the entirety of Elul one long Yom Tov? Says, what characterizes a Yom Tov? What distinguishes a Yom Tov from a regular day? A certain level of Gilui Shechinah, a certain level of closeness to Hashem. So if on Pesach I have a certain closeness to Hashem, and I have to respond by Isra Malacha, and by doing certain mitzvahs, and Sukkah is a certain level of closeness to Hashem, I respond by not doing Malacha and sitting in a Sukkah, why in the month of Elul do I not do anything? I'm wearing my regular weekday clothes, I'm going about my regular business, if the Shechinah is so close to us. And the Rebbe developed, the Alter Rebbe developed a mashal of a Melech Basadeh. Let's just read it inside very quickly. Let's look at Oz Beis, and source number 5. Torah Shanachem Tav Shin Nun. It's the bottom of the page. It says, Echad Heli Mudim Shi Yehudi Yachol Dilmo Nechodesh Elo Benogia Lavodaso Vash Shalom Ba'olam Adi Torah Muvan Yamashal Sh'ad Marazakein Al Chodesh Zem Shashem Yisbarachu Az Kemelach Basadeh. So if he's talking about bringing Shalom into the world, the way to do that is through the mashal of Melach Basadeh. Here's the mashal. His location Eklas Melach Le'ir Abira Machuso Le'ikol Machuso. Before the king enters his palace, Uvir Hu Kodim Basadeh Asher Saviv Le'ir. First he goes through a Sadeh, goes through a field. The Hasher Nimsa Basadeh, when he's found in the field, Yotzim Anshe Yer L'Kabos Pnei Melach. Everybody in the field comes out to greet the king. The Chulam Yecholim Oz L'Kashas Yilav. They can all approach him. But Melach Mekabel Osam Oz B'Savior Panim Yachos. The king receives all of them and smiles at all of them. But lo kavir, beikal malchus, as iafshar likanes elamelach bli rishos. Vegam az rakam ufkarim shabam yekidei skula. Suppose when the king's in his palace, he's hard to approach. Basically, on a yom tov, the king is in his palace. He's close, but he's in his palace. And when the king's in his palace, when you're going to God, you're going to the Beis Hamikdash, there's certain formalities involved. You have to act a certain way. You have to dress a certain way. Not everybody is going to be allowed in. And that characterizes the Gilui Shechinah of Yom Tov. It characterizes the Gilui Shechinah of Chodesh Elul that the king comes out to the field. And when the king is in the field, when he's traveling, he doesn't have a whole entourage. Or he has a whole entourage. Security is not as tight. All the people who are coming home from work in the field are able to pass by the pavilion of the king, peek in, say hi. The king smiles at them, and the king is much more accessible. And that characterizes the month of Elul when Hashem comes out to us, when Hashem comes out to the field. Great, and then Alter Rebbe expounds on this in that piece. We're not going to be able to read it all inside, but the Rebbe asks very specific questions on mashal, but the meaning of specific terms, and the idea he develops, which is sort of enlightened in the mashal, but wasn't brought out by anybody previously, is that what does it mean the king is in the field? What does it mean that they have the king come out to the field and be close to the people? So what that means is that unfortunately we don't have time to go through it inside. Maybe we'll start with this next time. But what that means is that the king, even though it's counterintuitive that the king should be at home in the field, you think the king would just want to travel through and not stay there. Really, the king is just as home in the field as he is in his palace, and that's the idea which Rabbi is medayik out of the lashon of the Alter Rebbe and his mashal. King is just at home in the field as he is in his palace. And what does that mean? You would think the king is in the palace. You would think the place that I'm close to Hashem is in the Beis Hamikdash, is in the Beis Medrash, is in the shul. The sadeh, the field where you work, where you're there in street clothes, where it's a day of chol, is not necessarily the best place to interact with Hashem. But the whole point of this mashal, Melach Basadeh, the whole point of the month of Elul, is to teach you that no, that's not true. Yes, there are some times when you have to come close to the king when the king is in his palace. When there's Isra Malacha, you have to abstain from this world, etc., etc. But really, it's a higher level to come close to Hashem when he's in the Sadeh. Or even better, as the Rabbi puts it, to recognize that the king is equally in the Sadeh as he is in the palace. And even when you're working, even when you're in street clothes, even when you're living daily life in the Sadeh, where you're Choresh and Zareah and plowing and working, you have just as much access to the king as you do when you're inside the palace. It's a different setting, different format, but just as much access to the king. And then he says, this is the whole idea of creating a Dira Vitachtonia, recognizing the fact that even in the Sadeh, even in a place which seems secular, even in a place where you don't seem close to God, Hashem is really there, even on a deeper level than perhaps where he could be found in the palace. So unfortunately, I was so scared of this. We didn't have enough time to actually go through it. But through starting off with the Torah of the Alter Rebbe, through a rigorous textual analysis of different aspects of the Mashal, the Rebbe is innovating a new idea in Torah of Chassidus, and getting to the point, reaching the conclusion that the most important thing for us to be doing is the recognition, is to recognize the fact that the king is really in the field at all times, and live life as if the king is in the field, and change our perception to understand the fact that the king is in the field, and work so that other people recognize that really the king is in the field as field as well, the field being the entire playing field of life. So this is just one example of what the Rebbe did in Torah of Chassidus, being mechadesh with Torah of Chassidus to bring out the idea which he felt was the mission of our generation. I hope it wasn't too scattered in terms of not giving background to all the points, but hopefully all these points will be fleshed out over the course of the semester of the year as we go through these ideas. So just to conclude, in one sense, the Rebbe is similar to the Rav, that everything begins with rigorous textual analysis, start with the sugyos. But the Rebbe is always going to, or very frequently, is going to take things in a very innovative direction. Because of what he thinks Torah of Chassidus teaches is the mission of this generation, i.e. creating a Dira Vitachtonim. So thank you so much. And next week we'll go through some pieces of our cook's methodology, and hopefully see also how it affects some of his ideas about this time of year. Thank you so much.